because in order to chew it some more, you gotta throw it up. And so if you chew it and swallow it and throw it up, and you chew it and you swallow it and throw it up, after a while, it's gonna become part of your system. So you got to change the way you talk because you meditated in your heart. Today, we're going to talk about judgment in your jaws. You know, we're on this series about your mouth, your tongue, your speech, and the power of your words. Today, we're going to talk about when you speak as a judge from your jaws. What does that look like? How does that work? When is it legitimate? When is it illegitimate? This is Tony Evans with the Urban Alternative, and I know you can't wait to hear what I have to say. So let's go and find out exactly what God has to say. Today I want to look at judgment in your jaws. Judgment in your jaws. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus has been doing some marvelous miracles. He has been astounding folk. Beginning with verse 23, he really does a big one. He goes over to a demon-possessed person and he casts out the demons. And everybody was stupefied, mesmerized. They were shocked at Jesus' ability to cast out the devil that had possessed this person. When the Pharisees saw Jesus do that, they made a statement. They made the statement in verse 24, this man cast out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. In other words, the only way Jesus could cast out demons is that he had the power of the devil enabling him to cast out demons. So they were saying the power for Jesus' miracles actually came from the devil. This leads Jesus to make a statement about the seriousness of your words in verse 31. Therefore I say to you, any sin of blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. What does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Not Jesus, the Holy Spirit. He says, anyone who blasphemes the Son of Man, notice he didn't say Son of God, he says Son of Man. That is, Jesus is humanity. In other words, Jesus gives credit for ignorance. In other words, you only understand a piece of him, Son of God. You don't understand the rest of him, Son of Man. You don't understand the rest of him, Son of God. So you don't have the whole story. But once the Holy Spirit has clearly demonstrated that Jesus Christ is not merely a magician as a man, but he is the Son of God. Once he has manifested like he did to these Pharisees through the casting out of demons, making the blind see, the lame the walk. Once Jesus Christ has been shown to be who he is by means of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, once you reject that, there is no longer any hope. Because you've rejected the best that the Holy Spirit can offer you. And that is the clear, unambiguous statement that Jesus is who he said he was, confirmed by the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit. And he calls that the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It is when God gives you full light and you reject it. Because once you have full light, there's no other light to give you. Once you reject full light, darkness is all that remains. And so that's why the Bible says now is the day of salvation. And come to Christ for salvation. So to blaspheme the Holy Spirit is to reject Jesus Christ in the full light of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit's revelation, illumination, that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. But having said that, Jesus now goes on to a bigger issue. He's dealt with this specific issue, but now he wants to broaden it about your speech. He talked about blasphemy, a specific speech, but now he makes it bigger. Verses 34. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. He's spoken about the seriousness of your speech, but now he wants to talk about the source of your speech. He says, if you've got bad fruit, check out the tree. Because if you have a bad tree, you're going to have bad fruit. Don't get mad at the fruit because the fruit is bad. Get mad at the tree because the tree that produced the fruit is bad. And what he means by that is the fruit, your words, your mouth, only reflects what's in your heart. Your heart is the tree. Your words are the fruit. It is out of your heart, the fullness of your heart, that your mouth speaks, he says. So if you have profane speech, it's because you have a profane heart. If you cuss like a sailor, it's because you got a sailor's heart. If you are a gossip, that's because you have the heart of a gossip. If you are a slanderer, it's because you possess a slanderer's heart. So to fix your mouth when we haven't changed your heart is to not address the tree. It's only to get mad at the fruit. To get mad at folk who have bad tongues. But we don't address the heart that produced the speech. It's not to fix the problem. It is to settle for trying to manage it. Evil words come from an evil heart. Good words come from an evil heart. Now, please notice that what he says is what fills the heart. None of us speak perfectly. There's not a person here who hasn't said things that you wish you didn't say, or say it in a way you didn't wish you said it, or we stumble in many ways. But he's talking about what's filling the heart. He says, when the heart gets full of something, it's going to come out of the mouth. Because it's full, so there's an overflow. Because the heart and the mouth are connected. They are intimately linked. For example, Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says these words. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. And so he says these two are connected. And they are connected intimately. For example, in Matthew 15, we read these words. He says, verse 17, do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? You use the restroom. But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. and those defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. So let's talk about the heart for a moment, since that is the source informing the lips. Well, what the physical heart is to the body, the spiritual heart is to the soul. So let me explain your soul. Your soul is your life, your life. Your life is your soul, not your body. Inside your soul is your mind, your capacity to think, which is the counterpart to the brain physically. Inside your soul are your emotions, the capacity to feel. And inside your soul is your will, your capacity to choose, because you have a conscience that gives you right versus wrong. So those things make up your soul. The hook that all of those arteries run into, mind, emotions, and will, is the heart. They all run into this thing, this heart called the heart. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. And the heart is pumping stuff out. So if the heart is filled with something wrong, that's what's going to pump through the bloodstream of the emotions, of the will, and of the decisions. So when it comes to your speech, your heart begins to pump. But because the heart has been contaminated due to sin, the heart's been, it's pumping, but it's pumping wrong stuff. And it's pumping wrong stuff to the mind. When the heart is pumping, ba-boom, 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 wrong stuff to the mind organizes it into a statement. Because you can't talk about something you haven't thought about first. So, ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. The heart is pumping, but the heart is a bad tree in this case, and it's pumping bad stuff. That bad stuff hits the mind. The mind has to organize it into a statement. The statement then rolls out the mouth. So what came out the mouth was organized by the mind, having been pumped in by the heart. Don't blame the fruit. Proverbs 16:23 says, a wise man's heart guides his mouth.
We'll return for more of today's message right after this special announcement from Dr. Evans. now return to today's message.
That leads him to a third point. What I call the survey. Look at what he says in chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Oh, now he's talking about your speech. But now this is scary, because this is every word. Your mouth has been wiretapped. Your mouth has been wiretapped. God has a tap on your mouth. And he's listening to every word. Every word. And he's noting every careless word. That is, worthless, useless, unproductive, evil. Evil word. It's being recorded. I don't know about you, but that scares me. I don't know about you, but that makes me a little nervous. And he says that those words he's going to discuss with us at the judgment. And by those words, stay with me here, you will be judged, justified, or condemned. In other words, he's going to use your own words for you or against you. Well, now, if men through the cloud can keep track of every word, what do you think about the one who made the clouds and his capacity to keep track of every word of all mankind? That makes watching your mouth a serious issue, doesn't it? He says that this is going to be addressed at the judgment. So let me tell you about the two judgments. There is a judgment for non-Christians, and then there is a judgment for Christians. So let me talk about the non-Christian judgment first. It's called the White Throne Judgment in Scripture. The White Throne Judgment is when all non-Christians will stand before the Lord. This judgment has nothing to do with going to heaven. If you're at this judgment, it means you're not going to heaven. Okay? Only non-Christians go to the White Throne Judgment. The purpose of the judgment is to see how much hell you get. Hell is not the same for everybody. Neither is heaven. There are levels of hell based on your words and your deeds. The only way you get to heaven is accepting Jesus Christ. But even if you don't accept Jesus Christ, there will be different stratas of hell based on your deeds and your words. When a non-Christian stands before God, it says God will open the books and he will examine their works and their words. Hell is incarceration in a lake of fire, but inside an incarcerated facility, and you determine by your works whether it's maximum, medium, or minimum security by your works and your word. It has nothing to do with salvation. Christians have a whole nother judgment. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. That judgment is where you stand before Jesus Christ to gain or lose your reward. He says God is going to listen to every careless word, every word that was spoken that was that which was unacceptable to him, and that will be a basis of criteria at the judgment seat of Christ. For believers. God says, I've recorded it all. And we're going to discuss it at the judgment seat. But not merely because of the words, but because of the heart that produced it. Because we're not talking about just an event. We're talking about a way of living. He says every word. They will all be accounted for at the judgment seat. So I guess that raises a question, doesn't it? A big question. If my problem is not my mouth, but my problem is my heart, how do I fix my heart so I can have a better mouth? That becomes a question. Because I want to change my recording. In fact, God, I need you to edit my tape. Anybody need a tape edited? Anybody? That's what I thought. Well, at least you're telling the truth. You're watching your mouth. Right. I need you to edit my tape. God does edit tapes. That's another sermon for another day. So let me take you to one verse. It's Psalm chapter 19, verse 14. After David has been talking about the glory of God in creation and the glory of God according to his word, he leaves you with your method of changing your heart so that you can change your mouth. He says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. He gives you a little prayer. A prayer you should consider beginning your day with every day. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let me say that again. Let the words of my mouth, what I say, and since it's connected to my heart, let the meditations of my heart. In other words, what he says is, I want to pray that what I say during today will make God happy, pleasing in your sight. He says, let the meditations of my heart. Because your words, we've already seen, are connected to your heart. So he says, the way to get the heart right is to get the meditation right. So that raises a question. What is meditation? Synonyms for meditation would be to cogitate, to fantasize, to contemplate, to think about, to rotate mentally. Let's see if this helps. You're driving down the highway. And as you're driving down the highway, you see a cow. And the cow is grazing in the grass. Now, as I give you this illustration, you must understand, I was born and grew up in a concrete jungle. I don't know nothing about the country. So I had to look this up. You're driving down the highway, you see the cow, and the cow is dribbling. White stuff running down the side of the cow's mouth. You seen that? Okay. So I want to talk about the cow's dribble and its relationship to meditation. Cows have multiple stomachs. When a cow wants to eat some grass, the cow will go up and pick up some grass or cud or fodder, whatever it is eating, and the cow will chew it and swallow it. But then the cow may want to chew it some more. So the cow will throw it back up in its mouth. It'll vomit it. It'll regurgitate it so it can chew it some more. But now it's mixed with its saliva and it's mixed with the fluids in the stomach. So he's gurgling up part grass, part juice. It will then swallow it again until it wants to taste it again. So when you're driving down the highway and you see slobber on the side of the cow's mouth, That's because the cows chewed it, swallowed it, vomited. Chewed it, swallowed it, vomited. Chewed it, swallowed it, vomited. Till all you got is juice. Until it finally swallows it for the last time. And it infiltrates the cow system so it's not to be vomited anymore because it's now infiltrated every part of the cow system. See, you in church right now chewing on this sermon. You're chewing. The reason I know you're chewing is because you're moving your mouth. Some folk have said amen. Some folk are nodding their head. I know you're chewing. But I also know that for many of us, when church is over, you're not going to vomit it back up. You're going to swallow it. It's going to be gone. You're going to eliminate it in the spiritual restroom until you come to chew it next Sunday morning. Which means it will never become part of your system because you never regurgitated it. By the time you get home, this meal will be over. But what God wants you to do is he wants you to chew it. Then he wants you to talk to other folk in the congregation, other folk in your family, other folk in your small group, so you can chew it some more. Because in order to chew it some more, you gotta throw it up. And so if you chew it and swallow it and throw it up, and you chew it and you swallow it and throw it up, after a while, it's going to become part of your system. So you got to change the way you talk because you meditated in your heart. Well, I hope you now have a good grasp on a judgment that should be coming out of your jaws or not. And to help you understand this full range of teaching on the tongue, the power of speech, the dynamic of the use of words, we've written a book. It's called Watch Your Mouth. It's understanding the power of words and the power of your tongue. And we want you to understand it. We want you to utilize it correctly so that you can get God's legitimate involvement in it. The book is called Watch Your Mouth. And we will get you a copy for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of the Urban Alternative. Would you be as generous as you can to keep us strong? And we would love to get this book out to you and others, because when you learn how powerful speech is and how God is involved in it, it'll change how we use our mouth. So watch your mouth. Get your copy of the book, 1-800-800-3222, or log on to tonyevans.org. God bless you. Thank you for your generosity. Most of all, thank you for your prayers. See you again next week.